Greg Cody's Back in My Day is going to be in about 5 minutes. We're going to talk to Pablo Torre at 11:30 Eastern about this whole Adrian Wojnarowski controversy, how it relates to China. There's just a bunch of stuff there that is interesting to chew on, as you just can't get away, basically, from politics seeping into sports. Ron McGill, the animal guy, will join us at noon Eastern. I don't suspect politics will get into that segment, but I'm actually, Stu Gatz, and this is a bummer, right? Because this is where we are, basically. Everything's a poison well. Everything is an argument. I am actually not looking forward to this Jorge Masvidal conversation we're going to have in an hour and a half, because I'm going to have to ask him something about some of the things he's done on social media that I didn't know that he was doing. Like, he introduced me to an alt-right group because of something he was doing on social media. It's not something I even knew about before he posted some fake Kurt Cobain quote, you know, with conspiracy theories in it. So I don't know how I'm going to handle this, but it's 90 minutes from now, however it is that we're going to handle it. But before we get into Greg Cody's Back in My Day, Cody, were you wounded that you were not able to scoop anybody on our alleged not a demotion where they're cutting an hour out of the radio show? Were you bummed about that, that you were not able to break that story, that it broke instead by ESPN press release?
Yes. I felt let down. I invited you to give me the scoop and you declined.
Well, I'll give you one now. They're demoting Highly Questionable, too. Go ahead and put that in the paper, to the graveyard shift of 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm actually, Stu Gatz, because the whole idea of what we built here at Lebatard and Friends is that slowly, I thought it was going to be my choice, but slowly, at our pace, sort of like wean me out of here and allow other people who have been in our universe to grab at all the good stuff. And I'm thrilled that Mina Kimes is going to be doing this hasn't been announced? No portion of this? Because I went on vacation. Am I announcing something that has? Well, I'm allowed to announce my portion of it. But regardless, we're being replaced at 4:00. If you understand what ESPN is, ESPN is basically a rights company, okay? So everything is about the rights. And it makes sense that at 4:00 they would put an NFL show when they're in bed with their rights holders, and their rights holders need programming. And what is happening to Highly Questionable, which has been a lot of fun to do for many, many years, is what happens everywhere at this network, which, if you're paying close attention, you understand this. Everything that is programming on any of the ESPN networks is just an infomercial about sports meant to get you to the game. Everything is about getting you to the game. So everything here is like almost totally replaceable. Very few of the things are actually ratings movers. And you could put anything anywhere, especially now where people can find things if they want it. But there is no disputing that 2:30 in the afternoon is a graveyard. Like, that, who the hell is watching television at 2:30 in the afternoon? So go ahead, Greg. And because that's what I was actually reacting to when we were on vacation and I was talking about demotion. Like, there's no way right to argue. You could sit here and make the argument that we're moving to digital, that it's stupid that we do this show this way, and inefficient, the radio show, because we're sitting here through commercials all the time, and we could be doing all this stuff without commercial interruption by podcast form. Like, I understand that evolution, and I also understand what they're doing in the afternoon, but I thought they were going to announce all of that at the same time, and evidently they didn't.
All right, so thank you for clearing that up. The demotion portion of this is your television show, because from a radio standpoint, we are being paid the same to do less work. And as I said yesterday, in my mind, that is a massive promotion. Thank you, ESPN.
Okay, but we're not going to be working less. Only you might be working less because you refuse to come in unless they're paying you extra. Time now for Greg Cody's Back in My Day.
And now, it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Oh, Jesus, he's coughing already.
Fireworks. So, we're in China. It's 200 BC. The first fireworks are invented inadvertently when someone tosses bamboo into a flaming pit. Crackle, bang. It's a firecracker. 1,000 years later, 800 AD, China again. An alchemist mixes together sulfur, charcoal, and potassium nitrate, hopes his concoction will unlock the secret to eternal life. Instead, by accident, he's invented gunpowder, becomes a local custom to pack the powder into bamboo or paper tubes and throw it into flames in order to ward off evil spirits. Soon, militaries have harnessed gunpowder and begin blasting projectiles at their enemies. By 1600, the British have transformed projectiles into colorized displays used for entertainment. King James was so enthralled with fireworks, he awarded knighthood to his fire master. The Brits introduced the phenomenon to the 13 colonies. As the Declaration of Independence is signed in 1776, John Adams, referring to fireworks as illuminations, envisions, quote, a great anniversary festival solemnized by pomp and parade. So there you go. It's the 4th of July, nighttime. I close my eyes and it sounds like we're in the middle of a civil war, which in the American summer of 2020 sounds a little too close to the truth. Bombs bursting in air, the sounds of mortar fire and gunshots, crackling, smoke. Imagine being one of the thousands of old soldiers living with PTSD. You're trying to fall asleep to the sound of fireworks. Suddenly you're in a helicopter tearing across the Mekong Delta in 1968. Why? So your neighbor, Mr. Pyrotechnic, can have his little staging area out in front of the sidewalk and blast bottle rockets into the air. Are you ever amazed, like me, that fireworks are still a thing? I mean, they're crazy expensive. They kill handfuls of people every year and injure thousands. In their entrails of smoke or toxic chemicals and pollutants, they basically serve no real purpose. Your local city puts on an annual display that puts your little neighborhood thing to shame, and yet there you are every year on the 4th of July and New Year's Eve, annoying your neighbors and making my dog bark incessantly all night long. Except when they're chasing their tail or angrily yelling at a commercial on TV. A dog never seems dumber, by the way, than when he is baying, braying, and barking at the banging of fireworks, never once thinking to himself, geez, the noise keeps happening and my barking seems to be doing no good whatsoever. I'm not anti-fireworks per se. Let's just rein it in, folks. Why are people so enchanted by fireworks in the first place? Ooh, ah, every time. I mean, there's basically a handful of types of fireworks in a few different colors that do the same damn thing over and over again. There's really been precious little advance in technology since King James. Whistling boom, sound, ooh, ah, like we're Pavlov's dogs. Like we didn't just see the same thing 5 seconds earlier. You know, back in the 60s at 1440, we didn't have big bucks to spend on things that blasted high and bloomed in the sky. Back then, you were content to twirl a few sparklers, maybe toss a cherry bomb or two, then you called it a night. Unless you were feeling really saucy, then you might light a string of black cat firecrackers in old man McGillicuddy's mailbox and hightail it the hell out of there, grinning like a mule eating briars. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
Greg, this has been your best show in about 3 years. I'm not really even kidding. Great. Your army, Stugatz, is mad. They're upset. Don't worry about us. They pay us very well, and nobody here has done anybody dirty to us. Talk to Golic about how things are done dirty, where he's reading about his very long career in the paper before anyone is telling him what happened to him. We get to do a ridiculous, silly, wonderful thing, laughing with our friends every day. I am super grateful that they put us anywhere to fart out this daily diarrhea.
Same here at Stugatz Army. I have taught you nothing. Listen to me. Listen to what I am telling you. They are paying me the same to work less hours. I mean, I changed my fantasy team names from 2 p.m. tea time to 1 p.m. tea time. It's delightful.
Greg, where are we on your list of top liquids? And by the way, this is the reason that we might be getting demoted. We do things like this instead of talking about things that we should be talking about. Where are we? Are we number 5 on the list or number 6 on the list?
Well, 6 was a nice Duckhorn Cabernet Sauvignon. Number 5 is spicy tomato juice, like a Bloody Mary type mix. Oh,
everything is alcohol related. Number 4, Greg Cody.
Diet Coke.
Oh.
Number 3, Greg Cody.
Bud Light Lime.
Pretty good.
Yes, Billy.
Well, Greg, you had already at number 7 Crown and Diet Coke. So Diet Coke was already in there. Diet Coke is so good that it's on there a second time?
I'm afraid so. One is spiked and the other is all natural.
Where are we? Number 3? I get confused. Number 3 or number 2? Where are we?
We're at number 2.
Number 2.
Coffee.
And finally, Greg Cody's number 1 drink or liquid is
Miller Lite. I just realized I don't have milk or water in my top 10. Yeah. I have to tell you that water would be number 11 only if it's ice cold. I can't stand tepid or tap water because you taste the mineral, which is very off-putting to me.
Pablo Torre is going to join us here in 10 minutes to talk about, the trolling that this senator did of Woj to get the response that he got so that he could then expose Woj for getting the response that he got. Actually, the thing that could have happened there, if you're not familiar with this story, incidentally, there was just a letter written to Adam Silver, and the bulk of it is about China and the NBA, and I sort of get that as an easy tool to weaponize against the NBA because they deserve it. There has been no rebuttal that's any good from LeBron or Silver, even with all these months to do it, where they speak about this issue any better than they did at the beginning when they spoke about it very poorly and sounded like they were choosing, money and sneaker sales and money from China over, things that we believe in this country about democracy and free speech, especially LeBron coming out against Daryl Morey after having time to think about it. You've heard me say that that's his worst public moment. He's been a pillar for 20 years. Amazing to see what he's become. But people make mistakes on this front, and he made a pretty large one. So that criticism felt fair to me. It's also an easy thing to weaponize. The other thing that the senator did, which was intellectually dishonest, is sort of frame it in the NBA is not about the military, and nobody's talking about the military. Like, what? We already used that trick with Kaepernick. Like, nobody's talking about the NBA doesn't support the military.
The senator found a little window. He just decided to go all in, Dan. That was
yes.
it.
Yes. Well, but here's the thing, though, because basically there are just a couple of things Adrian Wojnarowski could have done to create the tempest that he did. One of them he did by just saying, bleep you. The other one would have been to just call him names, which is over the line as well. But everything else, he could have disputed everything that was being said there. He was more efficient with bleep you. And so I want to talk to Pablo Torre about that. He's gonna join us because I find elements of this story very interesting. I think Woj is genuine in his remorse, and many of you don't think he needs to apologize. The part that I don't get about how many of you view me and the wokeness and stuff is I feel like maybe I'm wrong about this, really, given how often we talk about it. But I feel like the only thing I'm arguing for are equality and decency. And I feel like that's somehow controversial. Like, I don't know exactly how those two things, like, they seem pretty benign and obvious. But if we can't agree on science, if we can't agree on masks, if we can't agree on anything, then equality and decency are not things that you can... they're not things that are benign anymore, because saying Black Lives Matter by itself, like, it seems pretty benign. Having to correct that in any way, calling it a symbol of hate in any way, these things seem like you're attacking the benign by making it controversial. So Woj gave the senator the easy ammunition for his constituency. The bad part about that is the senator's constituency doesn't much care for the NBA to begin with, by and large, as a generalization. Like, that is not the audience. The NBA basically represents Stugatz in its proud and strong blackness. The NBA represents the things that many on the quote unquote other side don't like about the threat of black men. Like, what you have happening with police brutality starts with the idea that a black man is more likely to be incarcerated, more likely to be killed by police, specifically because by virtue of him simply being a black man, he is viewed as more threatening
than anyone else. The NBA, in terms of giant black dudes, in terms of, you know, at one point, the NBA photoshopping Allen Iverson's tattoos on an NBA magazine to make him more antiseptic. The NBA, with its dress code rules, making guys dress less black. The NBA is still a forward thinker on this front, and yet they cater on those occasions I'm talking about, which are few and far between, and less so with Adam Silver, to a customer base that has been majority white, Stugatz. You realize that the NBA for a long time has been viewed as too black a league. The NBA, before it being too black a league, when it was back on tape delay, it was too drugged and black a league. And so why do you think the punishments come down on Steven Jackson the way they do for fighting in the stands that way? Because of the visuals of black dudes in cornrows punching white customers in the stands. Like what you saw as a shift there with the Malice at the Palace, and it was obviously ugly and wrong for many different reasons, but what you saw as a shift in how fervently the NBA punished Ron Artest and Steven Jackson and basically ended all fighting with those punishments. Dude, guys, think about that. That league, like, that doesn't happen anymore anywhere. Never mind the fights on the court, off the court. It doesn't happen anywhere. Regardless, we will talk to Pablo Torre about this coming up next. Let's get right to it with Pablo Torre, his podcast, ESPN Daily. He's the new host. He replaces Mina Kimes, who has moved on to bigger and better things, stealing my time slot, infuriating Poppy because Mina Kimes is taking the highly questionable time slot. I wasn't supposed to announce that, but I already kind of did. So there it is. Pablo Torre with us on ESPN Radio. Pablo, help me understand this letter from Josh Hawley, Missouri, senator to Adam Silver. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, Josh Hawley is a hawk on China. He is a hardline guy on China in general. And this is something that is both super valid, because let's be clear about something, and I think it's worth the clarity here. What is happening in China, Dan, is a series of human rights abuses. There are atrocities going on there. So Hong Kong is one aspect of it. The Free Hong Kong movement, Hong Kong wanting autonomy from Beijing, Hong Kong experiencing crazy amounts of police brutality right now in parallel to our own kind of experience in America, except there is no recourse for the protesters to ever change the government in control of them. That's all going on right now. The government, by the way, has unsurprisingly exonerated itself when it comes to police brutality in Hong Kong. So Free Hong Kong is one issue. But there are other issues too. And there are like literally as many as 1 million Uyghurs, these members of Muslim minority groups in Northwest China, who are currently in internment camps. And I know it's probably jarring for me to throw all of this up on ESPN Radio right now, but this is like in the news. Read the New York Times, read PBS, read global news organizations. This is very much out in the open as much as China disputes it. So a historically enormous amount of people are in internment camps, ostensibly because they belong to inconvenient Muslim minority groups. And by the way, there's like forced sterilizations and abortions that are being reported by the Associated Press to curb the birth rate in Northwest China among these Muslim minority groups. All of which is to say that bringing attention to that stuff is super important. But the Josh Hawley letter was also simultaneously pretty transparent trolling. And it felt like it so often does, Dan, like a bunch of important issues brought up to silence the voices of other oppressed groups in America. It reminded me fundamentally of What About Chicago, except in this case, it's What About China. You don't actually care about the people in Chicago, or in this case, China, especially if you're the people retweeting the Josh Hawley letter over and over again. You do care, though, about silencing those voices that you politically disagree with.
Isn't that usually how Asian plight is used?
Yes. I mean, that's what's been so fascinating to me and heartbreaking as a person who sees it through that lens, because nobody ever really cares about what goes on in Asia or to Asians in general. you know, Richie Incognito says stuff about Pearl Harbor and massage parlors, and it's in a document. Nobody in our business even cares about that. There is no visibility, really, for Asian Americans in our country. Nobody really cares about that. However, if you can use Asian Americans as this model minority to argue against affirmative action, well, suddenly we are allies. We are very important people. If suddenly, in this case, human rights abuses are happening in an Asian country, well, suddenly now, even though we don't care at all about police brutality in America, we do care about it in Hong Kong. And to me, Dan, I find it very hard to believe that those critics are our allies. It feels like, once again, we are only useful insofar as we are a hammer to beat down upon people that they really, really don't like.
Pablo, were you, are you disappointed that the league chose business? They made a business decision over expressing support for the people going through this.
Disappointment's, I think, a super instructive word here, because that speaks to our expectations for any corporation in 2020 in this global flattened economy. So to me, I wasn't surprised. And my level of disappointment is only if you really buy into the notion that the NBA or any corporation is actually able to behave in the public interest on behalf of these oppressed people, as opposed to what their actual defined purpose and mission is as a corporation, which is to make as much money as possible for as long a time as possible for their shareholders. So I would love it, obviously, if business was to be sacrificed for these issues, but I'm also not expecting that at this point. And I think it's super naive and also a larger conversation for all of us to have, right? Like, we all make compromises. Compromises are at a certain point understandable and logical. But at the same time, if you're going to be a league that stands on principle and slogans about freedom and equality, I do think it's fair to point out that when you implicitly approve of what's going on with your business partners, that's something you'll have to answer to as well, and you better have good answers.
Oh, it's about principle. I just think that they're spelling it a little differently than we are when we talk about that stuff, because when you read everything that that Senator Hawley wrote, he starts with the Hong Kong stuff, and he starts with China, and he stays there for a while, but he was talking about the social messages. You told us first, hey, they've got to be careful, and this stuff has to be pre-approved, because somebody goes out there with Free Hong Kong, all of a sudden the NBA is going to have a huge problem on its hands, because it was a Daryl Morey tweet that started all this and cost them hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes, yes, this is all foreseeable. All of this was foreseeable. And Dan, when it comes to the Hawley stuff, I want to be clear about something too, because the people who are amplifying that message around American precincts and media, they don't, from my observation, they don't really want people to, like, read deeper into China or Hong Kong. The goal there is not education. It's not, hey, look at what's going on in China and Hong Kong. It's crazy and it's indefensible. That's not the goal. The goal instead is for them to say to all the people on the opposite political aisle, you are just as hypocritical and just as bad as us. It is a cynical move. It is not one done for the enlightenment of the reader or the sports fan. It is merely an attempt to clear a conscience because there is dirt underneath someone else's moral fingernails too. It's not about continuing the discussion. It's not even really about let's free Hong Kong. No, it's merely about, hey, LeBron, you said that you're pro-freedom, but what about this? And that, to me, is just so transparent and depressing at this point.
Pablo, stay there for a second. We're going to talk a little more about this stuff. We will get back to Pablo in a second. But, Chris Cody, can you give us a total garlic update for the people who haven't heard a word of the show today? You have a foot in a Ziploc bag filled with garlic, a bare foot. You've had it for an hour. You can take it off now. We're testing the theorem that you will taste and smell garlic an hour later. Do you taste garlic? Yes or no?
I was telling the guys during the break, I have had multiple in the last 5 or 10 minutes, just like all of a sudden sensations in my mouth that I'm like, oh, that's garlic. So it's not like consistently garlic, but like I'm like all of a sudden catching, which is delightful, honestly.
Yes.
So I might just start doing this regularly, just throwing a little garlic thing at the bottom of my socks every day.
All right. Go ahead and take off the Ziploc bag and we will check in back with you at the end of the show. Pablo Torre returns with us again. ESPN Daily is the podcast. It's going to be really smart, and you should check it out. Yes, Chris.
How much would I have to pay you guys to eat this garlic right now?
Oh, my God. Get out of here. With your foul canned ham of a foot.
I'm sure I have a price. I just don't know what it is yet. So.
Billy, what were you saying during the break about Pablo?
I mean, so I love Pablo. I'm a big Pablo guy. But when he was talking, I was like, wow, he's really smart. And two things hit me. One, yesterday I was talking to Pablo, we were texting back and forth, and we were texting about sleeping with your contacts on. And while he's talking, he's explaining everything that's going on in the world. I'm like, wow, I was really wasting his time last night texting him about falling asleep with your contacts on. And then a second thought that popped into my mind was, wow, am I the dumb person that Pablo talks to kind of like release, oh man, my brain is really tired. I need to kind of give it a rest. Let me talk to an idiot. Oh, here's Billy. I'll talk to him. Like, I'm the dumb friend, I guess. If friend isn't being presumptuous, I don't know that Pablo would consider me a friend. I should be doing that.
Pablo, your thoughts?
We are friends, Billy. I mean, you didn't get invited to my wedding, but I would say that you're probably also receiving votes in that category behind Mike Ryan and Stu Gatz, just to give the general hierarchy of things. But, yo, I mean, the reality is that I'm also the guy who falls asleep with his contacts in. And to recap, for those who aren't familiar with contact lenses, the upside of falling asleep with your contacts in is that you don't have to take out your contacts. The downside is blindness. So I'm not sure if I'm necessarily the guy who's always smart on everything, but I appreciate that sort of very low bar of a compliment.
Contacts are kind of crazy because at some point someone was like, hey, if we make this silicone or whatever a contact lens is made out of, if we make it this way, people can see things, right? But if you forget to take it off your eye, you can collect like 20 contacts in there. We may have to remove your eye.
But the other problem is that because I wear contacts, I also will like actually take them out the night before I go to bed. And then I'll wake up and just paw at my eyeball for like almost a minute trying to find the contact, only to realize that I've just been inadvertently blinding myself because I actually avoided blinding myself by taking out my contact.
All right, I want to get to the meat of what it is that happened with Adrian Wojnarowski, if you're not familiar with this story.
Because now they're wasting everyone's time. I mean, seriously.
He is a pillar of professionalism for ESPN. He is the authority in terms of credible reporting at the network and throughout sports. And he had an emotional response to the Senator Hawley letter that we were talking about during the last segment. I haven't gotten Greg Cody's thoughts on this before we get to Pablo Torre's thoughts on it, but the company, it's reported, right? I don't know who at ESPN leaked this, but it's being reported that Adrian Wojnarowski was suspended. I think that's the first suspension in the new era of Jimmy Pitaro. He hasn't suspended anybody. Cody, did you have any thoughts about this when the news broke?
Well, my initial thought was that, and Pablo mentioned this.
It's Dan, Stu, and Greg Cody on ESPN Radio.